This is Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White. A partnership between Cal Poly and the California Central Coast Research Partnership is home to several technology-based businesses. It's called the Cal Poly Technology Park, and it serves to increase collaboration between the university and industry and enhance the ability of park tenants to draw from the expertise of the Cal Poly faculty and students that are right there. Joining us in studio today is Jim Dunning with the Cal Poly Technology Park to talk about a new expansion effort and also explain a bit about the park's history as well for those of us like myself who don't know much about the park. Welcome to Issues and Ideas.
Thank you, Randall. I'm glad to be here.
So the technology park is there at Highland and Mount Bishop, right?
Correct.
That's the way I used to take into school in the late 80s. I can't visualize where it is. I'm picturing just citrus groves and such there.
Yeah, so it's essentially kind of out in the agricultural section of the campus. It's directly across from our dairy products center. And previously it was an old softball field and many different uses over the years.
I know where
before
it
was developed into the technology park.
And so how many tenants are there?
So we have 10 companies. They range everywhere from, you know, software to biotech, to ecological consulting firms. So it's a really good cross-section of industries.
This is way different than like the hothouse where ideas are being generated. This is actual industry having a place on campus and then having the symbiotic relationship that creates?
Correct, yeah. So all the companies, there is a portion of the companies that are in the tech park are more startup-based companies, but not student startups. They're companies that have, you know, maybe moved here, or people that have moved here and started companies, but they're maybe more mature in their career. But yeah, most predominantly the companies that are in there are mature. They're cash flow positive. They see, you know, great value of partnering with our faculty and students to make, you know, incremental improvements in their products and processes.
Yeah. When did the technology park get started? Did it start with just like one tenant and then move from there?
Yeah, so the planning actually for the first building started way back in 1997, so a long time ago, and it was really a grassroots effort between the community, the county, city, the chamber, Cal Poly, an effort to really grow and more tech companies in San Luis Obispo, diversify the economy, and provide a physical facility to do that. Mm-hmm. And somewhere in 2003, 4, and 5, Cal Poly really took the lead in trying to gather funding to build the first building. And we actually completed the first building in 2010, and it's the phase one. We always phase one of the technology park, really as a concept to see if it would work, if we could support, you know, fill up a building with great companies doing good things with our faculty and students. And by 2014, we had filled up the entire building, and
nice.
There's some really great stuff going on between these companies and our faculty and students.
And so, since phase one seems to be successful, where are we at right now? Phase two?
Sure, yeah. So in 2014, we submitted a proposal to the EDA, Economic Development Administration, a federal agency, for looking at expansion. And we received almost a $500,000 grant to help us really plan out the next 5, 10, 15 years for that area that's zoned as tech park or future research park within our master plan and on our campus.
So that doesn't cut into ag land?
Correct. No, there's no ag land in the zones that are zoned for this type of use on our campus. So we're engaging some consultants right now to help us, you know, look at some of the planning, look at what we're good at, and what maybe we should be targeting for our next build out as far as what kind of facilities, but also what kind of industries would be the best to kind of bring into the technology park, bring in close to Cal Poly. It's always been – the tech park's always been a project of economic development as well. We're trying to grow high-tech jobs. We're trying to provide opportunities for students maybe to stay in the community that have a high wage earning, you know, potential. And so we would hope that this tech park would be a place that would add – we'd add future buildings in more or less phases. Maybe the study will say we're going to build a larger facility right off the bat, but really phase in these developments and create you know, a critical mass of tech companies on our campus.
What's the overall opinion right now that you would, in phase two, you'd basically double the size or like, scale-wise?
Yeah, I think at a minimum we would add another building. The phase one building is 25,000 square feet. Mm. So we would add at least, I think, a building of that size. We're not quite far enough into the planning to tell us what would be kind of the max in the near term. And my near term is, you know, up to 5 years. So we're doing the planning. So we'll do a 5-year, a 10-year, and 20-year site plan to say, you know, these are the buildings we should add and where, and how does that interact with circulation on the campus. It's a really good time to do the study because of our master planning activity that's going on, and they're looking at circulation and how, you know, parts of the campus are going to be, you know, interfacing with each other, you know, going out 20 years. So it's a really good opportunity and time to do the planning.
Where does the money come from this? Primarily through the university's budget or through these businesses that are coming in?
Yeah, so the first model, it's a university developer model where we actually, the university took on the responsibility of developing the land. We were fortunate enough to get a grant for a portion of the funding. So about a third of the funding for the first building came from an EDA grant, our partner in the planning study now. And the other third came from private sources on campus, so departments that had an interest in supporting this activity. And then the third is a revenue bond. So we have some financing, debt financing, that the companies that are in the park pay a leasehold improvement and help service that debt.
Right.
So we're looking at different models for the future. We may continue to do the university developed model. There are other tech parks and other universities that use a ground lease. So they approach a private developer, a public-private partnership kind of model where they give a ground lease to an individual developer, and then they take control of the development of the site, basically, and provide a revenue stream to the university through a ground lease.
Are there other CSUs or UCs or even schools outside of California that have similar projects that you're looking to that are successful?
Sure, you know? Yeah.
Or even ones that aren't successful, and let's not do that, right?
Yeah. It's you're always trying to find a comparable situation, and what Cal Poly is a little unique and a polytechnic, and we have, you know, an applied research focus.
Yeah.
So we are doing some benchmarking to look at other public institutions that have a similar kind of makeup of our, you know, where we are in a regional, you know, kind of a rural economy, but sandwiched between, you know, two of the biggest economies, you know, in the U.S. and
right.
Maybe the world. So we have a unique kind of situation. But, yeah, I'm part of an association, University Research Park Managers. Mm-hmm. We come together. It's on a international scale, really. And so we're able to look at those other members in that base and see what's working and what are some of the development models that are working.
It seems like San Luis Obispo, at least based on similar business interviews that I've done for this show here, is on the path to becoming a much more diverse business community. Does that help in attracting businesses to the technology park? Or for that matter, having Silicon Valley right up the road, does that help or hinder getting businesses here?
So I think the critical mass is a key component. You know, we hear that issues of you know, losing a job and not being able to find a replacement is a key deterrent for people coming here. And if there are more tech jobs that can be supported, then there's not that risk factor. And you know, it is a relatively it's not an inexpensive place to live. It's cheaper than San Francisco and L.A. by, you know, some measure, but it's still a place that maybe needs dual income households. So,
right.
Trailing spouses, you know, heard a term that's an issue where you know if you need a dual income home, and the spouse has a job does not have a job, then it's difficult to stay. So,
right.
If we add more you know, high tech, you know, jobs in the region, then I think we can grow that base.
What about workforce housing? Does the technology park play a role in pushing for more of that within SLO?
And I serve in the knowledge of innovation cluster for the EVC, and there's a similar cluster, the building cluster that is looking at affordable housing, and it's a challenge.
Yeah, Mike Manchek, who actually arranged this interview, that's a drum he's constantly beating.
Yeah,
workforce housing, we need
right,
more of it.
Right. I live near Sinsheimer School, and there's a lot of great infill projects that are going in, a lot of townhome and condos that are really workforce housing. You know, in my opinion, it's kind of uninformed, but it seems to be a move in the right direction to do a lot of infill, higher density, and it is a consideration for the companies that may be relocating here and where their employees are going to live, and so we're looking at that in our study a little bit, more of an attraction business attraction activity for some of the big companies that come to Cal Poly all the time and recruit our students. You know, what does it look like for them to make a decision to actually put a satellite office in the tech park, and when they look at their employees and where they're going to live and what's the cost of living, as part of that whole conversation, really.
These types of companies that are coming into the tech park or, you know, considering the tech park or choosing it, what are they most looking for in terms of a facility? Do they want, I would assume, really high-speed internet, and then what other types of facilities?
Yeah, so, you know, everyone wants bandwidth and high speeds and good quality, and the campus has that, and that is definitely an attraction.
There's fiber going out there.
Yeah, there's fiber there. The planning in this next phase is going to look at adding redundancies and things that are really needed for really critical data operations. It's a mix. So a lot of the companies, there's a couple companies, for example, in the tech park that use our physical facilities. So they utilize our greenhouses. Mm-hmm. They utilize some of the agricultural land for growing crops, and maybe some instrumentation that we have on campus that's really expensive, and they access it on a fee for service kind of basis. So there are companies like that don't have the capital to invest in those types of things and are leveraging our resources. And then I would say predominantly all the companies value the student workforce. So providing part-time opportunities, being able to sponsor senior projects or master thesis projects that they can then have students work with them on those projects, but then also provide an opportunity to employ them after they graduate too.
Right.
So I would say predominantly the student body and the connection with the students is probably the primary reason.
Yeah, student retention. Student. Also here in San Luis, keeping some of those educated people
absolutely
right here is kind of nice.
Absolutely. And it's really nice because our faculty are in the classroom all the time and teaching a lot. They really enjoy when an outside industry member can come in and maybe guest lecture a class once in a while. And so we have that happening too, and that's really great for our faculty, and it's great for our students too, because the principals in most of the companies are pretty advanced in their field, and so they bring in the state-of-the-art of what they're working on into the classroom, which exposes the students to real-world applications, which is what Cal Poly is all about.
What are rents like for these buildings? Is it pretty comparable square footage-wise to something you might get out by the airport? Or?
Yeah, we've always modeled essentially at market, and the market in San Luis around Cal Poly for commercial space is non-existent or tight or not the right use. It's mostly medical. So it's hard to comp offices near Cal Poly, but we kind of use the airport, Broad Street, Tank Farm Road kind of development as a comp for what our rental rates are. And they're about there.
And your occupancy rate is at a point that it makes sense to expand now?
Yeah, yeah. So we've been 100% occupied for
100%?
Yeah, yeah, for about a year now. And it'd be nice to have some space, especially with you mentioned the Hot House program and those student companies that are coming out of there and maybe need a little time in a facility that's close to Cal Poly that they could continue to use some of the resources at Cal Poly. But every time that opportunity has come up, we've been we don't have any space. So, part of the planning activities will look at providing some space where we could accept some of these graduating companies, and it would be graduation space if it was of value to the companies to actually have some of that space available on a more permanent basis. The financing of that looks different. You know, there's usually philanthropy or something behind that because you're offering this space at a lower market rate.
Right.
So you have to look at the economics of that, and that's what we're going to do. But yeah, we've been 100% occupied for about a year, and I got an email this morning from a company. It's based in Minnesota, actually, looking for a satellite office to do software development.
Well, Jim Dunning with the Cal Poly Technology Park on campus there in San Luis Obispo. Thank you for joining us, talking about the expansion efforts and a little bit of the history, I think, is interesting to people that may be unfamiliar with it. Thank you for being on Issues and Ideas.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And this is Issues and Ideas here on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White.